Set now the pitch. Swung on, blasted. Deep right field, forget about it. Harper in his first at bat at Target Field clears the right field stands. It's onto the concourse. And Harper with a tremendous two-run home run, his 23rd home run of the season, and the Phillies lead it 2-0.
Well, that was fun, and then that was it last night for the Phillies offense.
Yeah, it didn't go the way we thought it was going to go, man.
No, it didn't. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. All right, we'll continue the conversation about the Eagles. What is your biggest reason for hope as we start the 2024 season? Training camp has officially begun with the players reporting. But, Hugh, we had a game last night. Phillies in Minnesota against a pretty good Twins team that certainly could be a playoff team, and they get off, like you said, good start, Harper home run. They actually had a Trey bloop hit, then the Harper home run, a Bohm single all in the first inning. Second inning, Bryson Stott, single. And then if you kept watching for the next two-plus hours, you literally didn't see a Phillies hit the rest of the game.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough. That was one of those ones when you watch, you're like, man, it was a long time before any action was to be had as far as offensively.
Yeah, they stunk it up last night offensively. They did not score again. They didn't get a hit again after the second inning. So the Phillies now have lost 3 out of 4 out of the break, 5 out of 7 overall. So we had that part of the whole thing. We had the game last night and where they didn't hit again. Here's Topper after the game on the offense and where they're at right now.
Yeah, you know, we're going through one of those times when we pitch, we don't hit, and when we hit, we don't pitch. And that's part of this long season, and we'll come out of it.
Well, I think they will too, but there's certainly some reason for a little bit of concern right now, Hugh, because this is a slump. It's a real slump. They're in it now. Remember, they lost out of the before the All-Star break to the Oakland Athletics 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to Pittsburgh. They lose 2 out of 3, and now they're here in Minnesota losing the first one. So there's some concerns. Hugh, where would you say your biggest concern is right now? Is it the offense that's up and down, or is it the pitching? So Ranger last night, I would say better than he has been in the last few weeks, but not the Ranger he was in April or May.
Yeah, I would still say my concern would be the pitching. I think the offense is going to come around. This is just a slump that they're in, and this is kind of what happens, you know, when you come off the All-Star break for the most part. Like, hitting is kind of not there right now, but I think that they'll be okay. For me, the pitching is still one of the issues that I had with this Phillies team.
Well, and I actually was a little bit more encouraged by Ranger last night than maybe his stat line would say.
He pitched well enough to win.
I thought so too. I didn't think he was bad last night. I just thought he was okay, right? Like he's had a couple bad starts here. He's certainly had, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 excellent starts to start the season. I thought he was okay last night. I actually thought some of the hits they had were just weirdly placed. Like, there was the one blooper down the right field line that he kind of got it in the guy's hands and he just blooped it over, mm-hmm. In front of, the right field line. So there was a few of those last night that I actually walked away feeling better about Ranger. But this offense, like, my concern right now with the Phillies, if they're going to go through a little rut, two things. One, the schedule is certainly getting tougher here. Minnesota, Cleveland, mm-hmm. the Yankees, Seattle. This is going to be a more difficult stretch for them the next few weeks. And their offense right now, it's just very spotty. I mean, they could really use a boost here by Dombrowski over the next week. We're 1 week away from the MLB trade deadline, because you look at this lineup and, you know, they have quite a few guys that are not doing much. Like, when you have Weston Wilson and your guy Johan Rojas at the bottom of the order, it's pretty blah. I mean, you're not getting much offense out of those two.
Yeah.
Bryson Stott has had basically a 2-month outage of any sort of offense. And then there's Castellanos, and you never know, unless there's a tragic event in the world, if he's going to hit or not. So, yes, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's not very imposing right now. Castellanos, Stott, Weston Wilson, and Johan Rojas. Kyle, I'm more concerned with the offense, because once you get past the top four, I'm going to give JT a few weeks to get himself back, into kind of rhythm here. But then, 6, 7, 8, 9, Castellanos, Stott, Weston, Wilson, Rojas, that's nothing.
They're doing that thing where all of the bats go cold at once,
yep.
Besides Bryce Harper. I shouldn't say Trey's bat's cold. Like, he's still batting, in the 340s. But he didn't do anything last night. Bryson Stott looks miserable at the plate right now. Like, of all the concerns that I have with the Phillies offense, he might be the most concerning one. Like, it looks like they're in another platoon situation in the infield. And if you can't rely on Bryson Stott or Brandon Marsh against lefties, like, you have way too many holes in this lineup for me to be totally confident that the offense is going to be able to carry him through, like, these stretches in the postseason.
Yeah, I think that's the right word, holes. Like, they just, like, I know Weston Wilson had a couple good at-bats, you know, in Pittsburgh. Like, come on, like, it's Weston Wilson. Like, I hope he's just a placeholder until they trade for someone, you know, over the next week or so. Again, Johan Rojas. So where are we on the Rojas train right now?
We're still on it.
We're on it?
Okay. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm still with him. I mean, because I'm with the defensive thing, man. I mean, I'm not as enthusiastic as I was like a week ago, but I'm still with him. I mean, because as I look at this lineup and I look at, you know, Kyle Schwarber, he didn't get a hit last night. You look at Trey, he got a hit. But then you're talking about Bohm didn't do a whole lot. He got a hit last night. JT's back in the lineup. But, I mean, it's one of those things, man. The guys that are paid the money to hit, they got to do it. They got to pull their weight. So we'll quit killing the guys at the bottom of the order.
Well, it would help if we had a little bit more oomph at the bottom, right, to kind of help out.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think we're at the point now where Dombrowski needs to do some one for October. I also think they could use that boost. Like, I always think the trade deadline.
That boost bat?
Yeah, it's just like a mentality. Like, we added something. We got someone. So something fresh and new is here to help us out down the stretch of the season.
Just somebody to get hot for a week.
Yeah.
To, like, kind of spark the rest of the guys. The Ranger thing, I came away from last night more encouraged about Ranger than disappointed. I was almost treating that like a playoff game. Like, I was living and dying with every single Ranger Suarez pitch. And I'm like, he's back. He's gone. He's back. He's gone. But I'm actually...
That's a hell of a way to live, man.
It was. I was like that last night. But I thought Ranger actually looked like he's in the process of turning it back around last night.
I agree with that. Yeah, I thought his velocity was up, you know, from where it was two starts ago. Because I think it was two starts ago that Friday, maybe it was, against Oakland. Remember the last time he pitched was. It was low. His velocity was as low as it's been in a long time. He hit 93 a couple times yesterday. So I was encouraged. Let's hear from Topper after the game on what he's thought and what he saw with Ranger Suarez.
How did you feel about Ranger?
Much better. The velocity was a little bit better than it was in his last couple of starts. I thought he landed his breaking ball when he needed to behind the count, and he put the breaking ball where he wanted to on put away pitches. So got the ball to his glove side, and those were the things that we were looking for.
I thought he did too. Yeah, I don't like Ranger last night, 5 1/3, 3 runs, 4 strikeouts, a walk. Not great, but I was encouraged more than I was discouraged. 215-592-9494. Hugh, here's the good news as the Phillies clearly are slumping right now. Last weekend and then this past weekend and then yesterday. The Braves can't get out of their own way.
No, they can't. Who's it? They just got Witt, right? Witt hurt.
They got Whit Merrifield.
They're having a lot of injuries right now, so you're still in a good spot.
Yeah, they lost last. I think they got shut out by the Cincinnati Reds last night. So the lead is still 8.5. I saw a stat this morning on the Phillies and kind of how, you know, what they've done over the last, let's say, month or so.
Mm-hmm.
So the Phillies are now 16-14 in their last 30 games. That's not very good, right? It's just barely above 500.
Yeah,
it's kind of
they're just trying to hold on at this point.
They're treading water in the last 30 games. During that span, the Braves have lost 0.5 game. The Phillies have gained 0.5 game on the Braves. So 30 games ago, the Phillies were 8 games up on Atlanta. They've gone 16-14 since the Phillies. That's not very good. It's just blah. They've gained 0.5 game. If the Braves were as good as they had been in years past, I think that we'd have a division race. But they're not. Like, this was their shot. The last month, the Braves had a chance without JT. You know, Ranger, you know, going through a tough spot. Obviously, Zach Wheeler has a pitch. He'll pitch
kind of leaking oil just a little bit.
Yep, and
take advantage of the situation.
The Braves didn't take advantage. And that to me, is a really great thing for the Phillies because they'll figure this back out. And I think the Braves missed their opportunity. 215-592-9494. What are you more concerned about right now with the Phillies? The pitching? And that includes the bullpen, which has been the biggest source of issue for the Phillies for a little while here. Again, last night, bullpen wasn't really great. I mean, I'm not going to sweat with Marte coming in. It's kind of mop-up duty at the end of the game. They're going to lose anyway. But last night, they did have Dominguez give up a run, and he's been so up and down the entire season, winning an ERA near 5. 215-592-9494. Pitching or the offense, what's concerning you more right now with the Phillies? And your biggest source of hope for the 2024 Eagles is... Plus, your guess is here. Hughes Clues, 4-pack of tickets. See the Phillies, Reading Phillies, and the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, First Energy Stadium, coming up on Tuesday, August 13th. Alec Bohm bobblehead being given away that night. 215-592-9494. Tony is up next on WIP. Hey, Tony.
Tony.
Yo. What's going on? First of all, yes, I live in Minnesota, but I was born and raised in Philadelphia, so don't get strange.
Are you going to any of the games this week?
Unfortunately, not, because I got other stuff to do.
Gotcha.
However, last night, that was an embarrassment. My neighbors, I do my morning walk, two-mile walk. My neighbors are passing me, they're talking out their neck. They got to get it together. Honestly, they need to get this together. Whatever slump, feeling, maybe they're in love. I don't know, they could be in love. Who knows? They need to get this straight. Okay? Topper needs to talk to these cats because they need to get on the good foot fast.
Yeah, this is rough for you, Tony. Living in Minnesota, a Phillies fan, and they're embarrassing you, and your neighbors are ripping you for it.
But not only that, I got my Eagles hat on, so we can go to them next. I have, first of all, for everybody in the Del Valle, be calm, okay? It's okay. I'm okay.
Be calm. You're you forget what it's like over here? Be calm, Tony.
Dude, I have a family chat with everybody in the Del Valle. Everybody's losing their minds. I'm the voice of reason, and that's crazy. But look, man, we got this season. We have this season, okay? We got it. It's not going to be a problem this season. Jalen's going to do what Jalen does. Okay, I mean, for all intents and purposes, all of me, just go out and win. In the words of Al Davis, win, baby, win. That's all you got to do is win.
So what's your biggest reason for hope? Saquon, Jalen bouncing back? Like, what's the thing giving you the most hope for this season?
I say that we have a firm hand on various coaching decisions with the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. We have no wishy-washiness, no ambiguity, none of that. Okay? Everything is in hand. I think those two positions – look, Nick Sirianni is whatever he's doing, he's being a manager. He's doing it.
We got some wishy.
But as long as we have two guys who know how to run the offense and one guy on defense, what's that? There you go.
Well, I mean, look, Tony, and Kyle said that earlier. It is a big reason. They have two accomplished coordinators. So, Tony, man, we appreciate the phone call.
We got a little bit of ambiguity, though. Got a little bit.
We got ambiguity at the coaching?
We got a little bit of wishy-washy.
With the head coach?
A little bit. We did, but I'm past that now.
Let me throw this at you guys now.
You don't sound past it.
No, you don't. I mean, you got us all fired up to start the show. An hour later,
I believe it.
What happened?
I still believe.
Okay.
I'm not wavering. I'm just saying. I just hear certain things, and I'm like, you know.
From who?
I'm just saying. You know how when people say certain things, you hear, but like, I don't know if that might all be true. But I'm still optimistic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you're dying on your hill, though.
Yeah, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be on this hill.
Hughes Hills are my favorite. Rojas Hill.
I'm going to be here. I ain't got nowhere else to be.
We'll have to get the graphics team to, like, make a graphic with Hugh on a hill with all of his little buddies.
And then as Rojas
with all my bad takes.
Yeah, and he's, like, stumbling down the hill. Hugh's falling down the hill.
Well, note that they're all the worst players in Philly sports.
Well, speaking of, I'm not going to call it a bad take because I don't think any take's a bad take. They're just all takes. But Hugh, you did have a take, when was this, mid-April, that the Phillies would average 6 runs per game for season?
Why are we talking about that?
Well, because it's a hill, right? Isn't that one of your hills? I'm just checking.
Not looking good.
It's not over.
It's over.
All right, is it?
Yeah.
The Phillies have to average well over 7 runs per game the rest of the way to get there. Are you tapping out of this one, or are we going all the way to mathematical elimination?
You know me. How long you been working with me?
You're dying on the hill.
Oh, I'm going to be here. I know, like, it's looking bad for me, but at one point it looked okay.
It did.
It looked okay, but it's not, you know. Last night it started off good for me.
2-run home run, first inning.
Man. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Not that confident, but I'm still here.
At some point, we need to have a funeral for this particular prediction.
I'm just like, I'm here. I'm here. I ain't got, you know, I'm here. I'm here.
So let me ask you guys this, because our last caller brought up the coordinators. Kyle brought up the coordinators early in the show as his biggest reason for hope. Which one are you more confident in? Is it Kellen Moore or is it Vic Fangio? Hugh, if you had to say which one of those two you're more confident in to really do their job well this year, is it Moore or is it Fangio?
To be honest, Joe, I think Vic Fangio's job is going to be harder because of, like, he has to come in and he has to implement a whole new defense and learn the guys that he has. Like, because you got a lot of young pieces. You got a lot of young moving parts. So I feel like his job is going to be harder. I feel like Kellen Moore, no disrespect to Coach Moore, but he's a plug-and-play coordinator, in my opinion. Only thing that he has to do, in my opinion, is get that offense on the same page. That's it.
Yeah, to that point, Mortis don't have to make many decisions on playing time, right? They have to decide right guard. That's obviously going to be a training camp battle with Mekhi Becton and Tyler Seam. But the other positions are set. Like, we know right now, the two wide receivers, they'll figure out wide receiver three, I guess Paris Campbell. But, like, the other positions are all set. Defense, Vic Fangio has a lot of decisions to make on who's going to play, right? So who are the two outside corners? I guess Slay and Kelee Ringo or Isaiah Rogers or Quinyon Mitchell. So he's got to make a big decision there.
Yeah.
He's got to decide on the slot corner. I'm guessing the two safeties are Gardner Johnson and Blankenship, but I'm not sure how long that lasts with each of them having injury issues at times. Who are the who are the two starting linebackers? Yeah. Devin White and Zach Bond?
Yeah.
Do you rotate up front?
Yeah, all of that, man. It's one of those things where I feel like the tougher decisions are going to be made defensively because you got to find guy. You don't know what you got on that side of the ball. Like I said, you got Pro Bowlers on that other side, like a lot of them. Like when you talk about the number of Pro Bowlers on both sides of the ball, it's easily outweighed by the offense. So yeah, you just go out there, you put them in position. The hardest thing that I think Kellen Moore is going to have to deal with is who gets the ball this week.
Like in terms of the weapons.
Who is going to be featured this week? I think in order for this team to be successful, like we all know, we throw on the rock at some point. But some games, you might want to feed Saquon. You might want to make Saquon the go-to early on. And then, you know, as the game progresses, then you want to get AJ involved or the Slim Reaper involved or Dallas Goedert. I think that's the biggest problem.
Speaking of coordinators and the job they have to do and the work they have to do, have you looked up today? Do you see what's on TV in the studio?
I've been kind of looking at it a little bit.
So on whatever channel we have on here, I guess NFL Network.
It's NFL Network,
yeah,
right? Yeah,
they're replaying the Eagles-Bucks playoff game. Kyle doesn't look upset over in his area. I don't think he's watching this.
No, he's not watching it.
Whatever Vic Fangio does will be – the tackling on defense in that playoff game early on last year might be the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm like, they just walked down the field. That was awful. Kyle, who do you think is the bigger challenge this year as a coordinator? Well, Kellen Moore or Fangio?
The bigger challenge is clearly Fangio. I mean, Kellen Moore's job should theoretically be easy. Like, season was more of an impressively bad work by Brian Johnson than anything else.
But he also is putting a new offense in. At least they've been kind of running the Fangio way anyway.
But
it's just
it should be the easiest thing in the world to build an offense around the talent that they have. Like, Vic Fangio is an uphill battle with, one, like you said, who even ends up starting,
right,
and two, making that look like put a decent product out there on the field. Like, Kellen Moore's job should, in theory, be the easiest of anyone on the team.
So I understand that, but he also has it's almost like grading on a curve. He needs to be an A+ for us to feel good about it. Like, you're saying top three offense. If Vic Fangio gets the defense back to respectability, we'll all be like, all right, that's fine, and that's good enough for this year.
Well, I think going from, like, 7-3 on offense isn't as hard as going from, like, 32 to maybe 15 on defense.
And I think those numbers could be where they end up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have more confidence in Fangio because he's done it for longer, but he also has a bigger challenge. Jeff in Princeton. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I want to run the gamut here and do Phillies, Eagles, Olympic basketball, and then an Olympian, if that's okay.
You got it, Jeff.
All right, so Phillies, what was the guy's name who pitched a no-hitter down the stretch and they had a sixth starter for a while last year?
Michael Lorenzen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I would like to see them do that again. I really feel like the top three, you know, are going to have some tired arms here. I mean, they've pitched late into games a lot, and you know, I'd like to see them give them all an extra day of rest down the stretch. I mean, maybe with Turnbull coming back, hopefully, as much as I don't like Walker, you know, and then maybe acquire somebody, I'd like to see them, you know, do that again.
Jeff, I do too, and I think there's a really good chance they will do that in August and maybe early September. My guess, because of all the names you mentioned, like between Walker, Turnbull, and even Tyler Phillips, my guess is they probably won't acquire someone, but they'll just slot whichever one of those three is pitching the best into that kind of role this season.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think maybe that's one of the things that was wrong with Ranger. You know, you guys were talking about his velocity earlier.
He and Sanchez are approaching innings levels that they've really never been at. So I'd be surprised if they don't do what you and I are talking about, because they're going to win the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. Like, they have to get these guys ready for October. That's the whole thing now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And with the Eagles, I mean, the guy from Minnesota was sort of alluding to this, but I think Sirianni, I mean, as sort of weird as it was when we first heard about Sirianni's new role, I think that, you know, it's actually the right move. I mean, I just think he's best when he's going around using his personality, which is his strength. I mean, I don't think he's a great tactician by any means, but, you know, just sort of picking guys up and motivating guys, and hopefully he'll be able to do that this year.
Well, that's the plan. And you know what? When they were at their best with him, Jeff, that's what they did. I mean, you go back to 2022 when Steichen, now we know, realize that was obviously a big part of the offense, and Gannon was good with the defense. That's what they're trying to redo again here in 2024. All right, Jeff, what do you think about Olympic basketball?
Well, when you were rattling off the scores earlier, I just think I don't think this team is better than the Dream Team, but we have to remember the state of world basketball at that time. Like, you know, that team, the Dream Team, really inspired the Nowitzkis, and now we're into the second generation of players like Jokic, and, you know, and so...
And Luka, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to compare, really, you know, those scores versus what they face these days. But I definitely do not think that this team is better than that team, but I think we have to, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it's relative. The competition is better now.
Yeah, because now you have more players that play the NBA style of basketball that are going home to play for their country. That's the point that I was going to make, is that, you know, you're talking about, like, overseas players that were playing overseas, and Michael Jordan and those cats came in there just boat racing.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, the Olympian. Did someone say Mark Spitz?
Mark Spitz has not been guessed
yet. That's a good guess.
It's a very good guess. Jeff, that's not it, but it's a very good guess. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, let's get to the phone lines coming up next. More on the Phillies here in terms of what's the biggest concern, the pitching, including the bullpen, and Ranger, who last I thought was better, but still not quite back to where he was. We'll let you hear what Ruben Amaro said earlier today on why we should be optimistic about Ranger getting back to that level. Your biggest concern right now, is that the pitching or the hitting with the Phillies, and of course with the Eagles? What is your biggest reason for hope? Coordinators, Saquon Barkley, a bounce back from Jalen Hurts, or do you share the reason Hugh had earlier, that Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are going to patch this thing up? Boom.
Love fest.
Love fest. It's all going to work out.
It's
going to
be a love fest. Nothing but love up in this piece.
I don't give a shit.
Just figure it out, Nick. Figure it out.
That's all you got to do. Figure it out.
215-592-9494. Plus, your next clue for Hugh's Clues. We're giving away today a 4-pack of tickets. Reading Phillies coming up Tuesday, August 13th. The first 2,000 people there will receive an Alec Bohm bobblehead. We'll give you a second clue for Hugh's Clues coming up next. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Recently, I visited my friend Dr. Rafi, the premier hair restoration specialist in the Delaware Valley, and I saw the cutting-edge surgical options he offers all genders, including Artis IXI, Robotic FUE, Neograft, and the non-surgical Almatet. Dr. Rafi will design a custom solution for you. So stop hiding your hair loss. Call Dr. Rafi now, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100, and get your confidence back. Or visit PhillyHairMD.com. That's PhillyHairMD.com. No worries today, Hugh. It's all about hope today. Training camp.
Optimism.
It's here. The Eagles are back. You know what I can't wait for is starting tomorrow?
What's that? One of my
favorite things every single summer. And that will be our guy, Elliot Shore-Parks.
I was about to say chart and plays.
Chart and plays.
Man.
Jalen stats every single day at camp. And Kenny Pickett. I mean, we'll have the Eagles quarterback,
Mr. Two Gloves himself.
Stat report starting tomorrow on the show. Before we go any further, we do need to give the people a second clue here for Hugh's Clues, but we have to give a big thank you to our friends over at Wendy's for a ton of amazing. They brought us.
Food,
I mean, I think they brought everything today. We have burgers, chicken sandwiches, fries,
chicken nuggets. They got some nuggets.
Yes, the saucy nugs, the triple berry frosty. Right now, Wendy's, enjoy 7 saucy nugs flavors from buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, and even spicy ghost pepper. No matter what flavor you're craving, Wendy's has you covered. Get to your local Wendy's today and try all this amazing food for yourself. What do you have? You got a burger?
I got a burger. I didn't get the saucy nugs because, you know,
I think
when I walked
Kyle
in there,
got,
Kyle got the saucy.
Oh, yeah,
nugs.
I ripped the saucy nugs.
What sauce you got on there?
So I got the garlic parm today. Last time I got the buffalo. This time I wanted to switch it up and get the garlic parm.
I wonder how spicy the spicy ghost pepper is.
Anytime, and you got anything that says ghost pepper,
I don't know if I'm willing to be the guinea pig on that.
Yeah, I ain't trying to see what that's about. I ain't trying to live that life.
I usually live that life. I like the spicy stuff. So we appreciate Wendy's coming by with this and great food here. 215-592-9494. All right, let's hear from Ruben tomorrow this morning, and then we'll give you another clue for Hughes Clues. Ruben this morning on with the morning show, talking about Ranger Suarez and why we should be optimistic he's going to find his high level again.
Slow it down. The man has never logged this many innings in the first part of the season in his career. He is still getting through that process. There is a dead arm period for guys. It happens. It's real. He logged so many innings. It was so good that he, I mean, nobody is this good for 32 starts. It's not happening.
How long does the dip down last?
Yesterday. It can be like 3 or 4 starts.
Okay, so he's probably almost through it at this point.
That's why my biggest thing was to watch him pitch and to watch his effort level, because you could see that he was much more like his first 2 months than his last month.
So
in the way the ball was coming out of his hand, the way his arm was working, his command, all those things were much closer to where he was early in the season.
I thought that was pretty strong by Ruben Amaro. I'm really telling everyone to calm down about the Ranger concern, and he was more encouraged last night than discouraged. And we could be real; it wasn't last night great, but it was better than the last 3 or 4.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where it was good enough to win if you'd had a little bit more offense.
Yep.
If you'd had a little bit more offense, you would have been in a position to win that game.
I also think we need to probably
pump the brakes.
Well, I think we just need to take a deep breath on what Ranger is. Like, I Ruben's right. He's not Roy Halladay, right? He's not Clayton Kershaw. Ranger Suarez probably wasn't going to pitch to a 1-something ERA for 6 months. And you look at Ranger Suarez right now, and this is including last night and the bad few starts he had. He has a 2.87 ERA. I mean, if I had told you before the season, what's today's date, July 22nd or whatever, July 23rd, that on July 23rd, Ranger Suarez would have a 2.87 earned run average. Every single person
get out of town
would have said what? Or I'll take that, of course. So
all day.
I'm with Ruben on this. As long as he's healthy, that's the key. And it seemed like with the way he threw last night, I think he is, because he was throwing pretty hard.
Yeah, because he had Tidy back a little early on, and it seemed like he's getting over that a little bit. So yeah, he looks pretty healthy.
He's not my issue with last night. It's really the offense. I mean, my concern right now is an offense with the Phillies that goes up, that goes down, that goes up, that goes down, and you get past 4 in that lineup, and it looks pretty thin most nights. Again, I'm going to give JT a few weeks to find his footing again, because he just came right back. But 6, 7, 8, 9. It's kind of blah. I mean, you got Castellanos, Stott, who's had a miserable 2 months, Weston Wilson, Johan Rojas. They need to go get a bat. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh, I think we need to get the people a little help here with this second clue. So,
yes, people are starting to ask me, what's that second clue?
All right, we got a 4-pack of tickets we're giving away today. Reading Phillies coming up, First Energy Stadium, Tuesday, August 13th. First 2,000 adults in the park that night receive an Alec Bohm bobblehead. For tickets, ReadingPhillies.com. We got a 4-pack for you today. All right, so first clue today was?
Yes, the first clue was he's a famous Olympian.
Second clue.
Or they are a famous Olympian, I should say it like that. The second clue is that, I guess this kind of gives it away, they were drafted in the NFL. They were drafted in the NFL.
I don't think it gives it away. I have to imagine quite a few Olympians were drafted into pro sports. Now, very few make it, right, and are able to do something unique and play a pro sport. But all right, so this guy was drafted into the NFL. Let's go to the phone lines here. There's your second clue. This person drafted into the NFL, and they're a famous Olympian. Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Jerry.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Jerry?
How you guys doing today?
We're doing well, Jerry. What are you thinking?
All right, well, I got one little sentimental thing. I actually went past my accident site this morning and stopped by it, and I couldn't believe that I'm still talking to you guys and what I saw during the daylight. It was kind of surreal of what I saw and where I ended up at the bottom of this bridge. It'll be a year ago coming up August 5th.
Wow, Jerry, that's pretty powerful. Now, did you go there on purpose to kind of see it and take it all in, or were you just in the area again and you drove past it?
I had to go by there. I'm heading to Florida, heading to Palm Beach, and I had to come down 65 south, and I actually stayed on the opposite side of the road last night, and then when I got back on the interstate, I literally stopped and was right where the spot was, like where I pulled over to kind of look and take in everything and kind of see the trees that I went through, the bridge that I hit. They still haven't fixed the bridge, but they fixed the guardrail up to the bridge that I took out the chunk of. So it was kind of weird.
I can only imagine. Well, listen, we're almost a year later. We're so glad that you're with us here, yeah, and it all worked out. You know, okay.
And 94 WIP got me through everything. I mean, it was. You guys really got me through the whole thing. Sorry to get a little upset.
No, sorry. No, listen, it's don't
cool.
Worry.
It's cool.
Moving for me.
Don't you worry about it, Jerry.
So, all right. So I'm gonna go on the opposite end of the scale here. The Phillies. Now, the last couple games, and I was kind of making a funny with Kyle that Harper's been putting up some Bobby Abreu numbers the last couple games because he's not getting any help. The home run in the ninth inning. And then you got last night, he had a two-run homer, but then we only get three hits afterwards, even though that was early in the game. But I just kind of thought it was, you know, he's putting up hollow numbers right now because the whole team's in a slump except for him, I guess.
Yeah, well, that one on Sunday, certainly that's a good point on a Bobby Abreu kind of home run. Like, it counted, it was a homer, but it didn't affect the game at all.
Right, you know, just padding the stats, and hey, that's how it is. That's how good he is, so... And one thing on Ranger, we all thought, you know, he's, in my eyes, he's, I guess, he's an average, I guess, not, I'll just say an average pitcher to above average pitcher. I just think he got into some kind of crazy groove that nobody could touch him for those 10 games that he pitched. And now he's kind of seemed like come back to earth.
You talking about Ranger?
He might have got some dead on there. I mean, he pitched a lot of innings. Plus pitching from, I guess, pitching the World Baseball Classic last year and all that. But, you know, so.
I think he'll be fine. But Hugh has another theory on the Ranger. Are you still on your theory?
Yeah, you know, because they said his back was a little tight one time. But he's getting over it. I mean, like, man, having your family come to town and stay with you. I mean, he hasn't seen him in a while. I'm telling you, man, that's a hard thing to have happen.
Yeah, because, you know, he's trying to live up to everything and all.
Yeah, he's trying to live up to expectations.
Well, the other thing on that, too, is, I mean, let's just – his routine might be off. I mean, you think about it, like, he probably has a routine of, you know, whatever, how he goes about his in-between starts, this day, and now – he's got his family here. I mean, that's going to change his routine.
Tighten your back up.
That could happen too.
And one point on the Eagles, real quick, before I give you my answer for who you exclude. They're going to put all this baloney behind them and play football. I don't know much about the coordinators that we got, but apparently they're way better than what we had last year, just on track record. And but I'm kind of excited that football's starting, you know.
Oh, so. It's an exciting time. And, yeah, their track record is way longer, both Moore and Vic Fangio compared to last year. All right, Jerry, give us your guess here. Hughes Clues, famous Olympian. What are you thinking?
He was drafted in the NFL. He had to be a wide receiver. And the guy, what was his name?
I like how he talked through this, though.
Yeah, he's thinking through it.
It's got to be a wide receiver because they're the only ones that usually get drafted in their sprinters. Mm. But I can't, man, I'm trying to, it's not Carl Lewis. I can't think of the guys. I can't think of the name, dude. Guys, I'm sorry, but I don't have a true answer, but I know he, I'm just going to tell you that he was a sprinter.
All right.
But
sure.
I can't.
Okay.
Jerry, you got it, buddy. Jerry, we appreciate it.
It's cool. So you're not giving a guess?
Yeah, he said he didn't have one. Which
okay.
He worked through it, but he didn't give the guess. He just was working through his whole spiel there. All right. The point he made on Ranger, and I don't think Jerry's wrong. Now, I think Ranger's above average. I do think he's an above average pitcher. But again. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what Ruben Amaro was working at this morning, and what he said, my perception of Ruben's comment this morning,
He's in rarefied air right now.
If we expected Ranger Suarez to keep an ERA under 2 for the entire season, we probably expected too much. He's not Clayton Kershaw. He's not Roy Halladay. He's not Pedro Martinez. This is Ranger Suarez. He's a good pitcher. I think he's an above-average pitcher. I trust him in October. He gets big outs in October. And I'm thrilled he's here. And on this team, it's going to help him try to win a World Series. But, I'm not surprised.
You can't be asking him to do, stuff like that. I mean, it's new for him. That's basically what you're saying. It's new for him.
Well, to be this good for this long. I mean, he's had spurts of being really good for years and years. Last few years, I should say. But, to expect that for 6 months, I think this is a combination of probably a dead arm. And I'm coming back down to earth. And then like you said, the family's here.
The family's here. Like I know people are probably listening to that and poo-pooing that. But, man, I'm telling you, he has young children. And, Joe, you know how it is, being up late with your kids, enjoying time with your kids, and then your wife's here. That could take a toll on you a little bit. That changes your routine.
Well, I'm used to it because that's my life.
Yeah, that's your life.
But if they weren't around and they came home.
Yeah, man, there's a little bit of an adjustment.
Of course. Rob and Delco. What's up, Rob?
Yo, what's up, Joe? What's up, Hugh?
Hey, Rob. On, man?
Yo, I'm going to bust out a line from Rocky for you, the Palmer Ranger. You ready?
Yes.
Remember when he was training him? He goes, Rock, women weak in legs. That's a Palmer Ranger, Hugh. The wife's home.
Right? I alluded to it real heavy. Somebody picked it up.
Here's a question I have. When October rolls around and the stakes are really high, can we get Ranger his own hotel room for a month
he should be adjusted by then. I need focus, though.
Hopefully that stamina and routine will be built up by that.
Yeah, it'll be different. Be a little different.
Listen, before I touch on the birds and I give you my answer, you know what I noticed, Joe and Hugh, with the Phils coming out of the All-Star break? Now, this is just me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're a little boring. It's like a little stale, Joe. I'm looking for this trade deadline for an injection, just a little pick me up.
I agree. No, and I think we need it as fans, but I think they could use it too. It's almost like a little boost. Like, hey, we believe in you guys. Let's go win the World Series. We went and got this guy and this guy. Let's go.
And Hugh, you say this several times. This phrase, I'm going to die on that hill. I'm going to die on this hill with this comment with the manager. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Play Bryson Stott every day, Joe. I don't care what he does for the rest of the year. I won't complain at all on the radio anymore. Play this kid every day. Unless he's played 20 games in a row. You want to give him a day off. Okay. Play every day this Bryson Stott. I don't want to see it no more. And unless they trade for an outfielder, put Marsh out there majority of the time. I just want to see what we got, Joe. We got enough talent around him that we can take a hit with these guys. I want to see his Bryson Stott. I thought he was a future All-Star. Perennial All-Star.
I did too. Yeah, no, I'm. It's pretty amazing how poor he's been for 2 months. Yeah. I mean, he's really done nothing for 2 months here.
And again, Hugh, I'm going to die on this hill with the quarterback, okay, Hugh? Because it all comes back to the quarterback.
Gotcha.
I want to see him excited. I don't even go around with the pom-poms. I just want to see. He looks at himself and says, man, I'm an NFL quarterback. I'm a quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, a town where the people are passionate and crazy about our team. We live and die with our squad. Every practice, every catch, every drop, every first down, no matter what it is. I just want to see that he looks like, man, I got generational type money. I don't have to worry about money for the rest of my career, for the rest of my life, for my kids and their kids. You know what I mean? I just want to show, I don't know, Hugh, just I'm excitement. I'm proud to be a quarterback. I'm glad to be a quarterback. I'm living a dream right now.
I think he does. I just think it's different for him. I think he does, though.
I hope he does. Yeah. I hope so.
Well, I want to see him tomorrow at the podium, Rob. Or after their first practice, I want to see him endorse Sirianni and sound like he's excited. I mean, today we're excited. We have hope today. I want him to feel. I want us to feel that from him.
I want to see some friendship bracelets, Hugh. That's what I want to see.
Friendship, yes.
Bring those back. Bring the friendship.
All right, Rob. Give us a guess. Who's clues? Who are we talking about?
All right, Jerry, the truck driver, kind of led me down this road because my first thought was, who loved speed back in the day? Just Win, baby, right? Mm-hmm. Al Davis, right? So I'm going to go with Willie Gault.
Right? Willie Gault. That's a fun one. That's not it, Rob, but it's a fun one. Yeah, as far as the Jalen Hurts thing and showing enthusiasm, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world tomorrow if we see a nice big old smile from Jalen Hurts and him looking and sounding enthusiastic for the new offense, for the season, for the head coach. This can't hurt, Hugh, if he goes out there tomorrow and he says the right things, he endorses Sirianni, and he looks enthusiastic about the season.
I think he will. I don't think, like, I don't, I need to caution people for this because I feel like a lot of people are going to look at him and they're going to judge his enthusiasm by the way they feel it should be and not what it is for him. Because I think we have to be careful with this because I hear a lot of times, and we talk about how he's not enthusiastic or he doesn't do this or he's stoic on the sideline or whatever. Jalen's kind of always been that. Like, Jalen's had his moments when he had his success and even in his failures where you could see him having excitement. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we should read too much into that because I don't think that's his demeanor for the most part. Now, as far as his coach is concerned, like I said, if you give me something close to saying that you endorse your coach and that you push this behind you, I am totally okay with that. It doesn't have to be wearing a Nick Sirianni t-shirt.
That would work.
Yeah, smiling from ear to ear, talking about everything is fine, because I feel like for him, that's not who he is. That's not what he's going to do. But I need him to not have pregnant pauses in his conversation when he's talked about the coach and just say, hey, something to the effect, like I said yesterday, hey, we're getting ready for the season to start. Hope springs eternal. Let's try to get to New Orleans.
So we talked a lot yesterday about what we wanted to hear Jalen Hurts say. What is our actual expectation? Like, tomorrow when he gets up there, my guess is he's going to make us feel better than he did a month ago. Like, mm-hmm. he'll make an effort to do that. But he's not going to go all the way to say something to the effect of, Nick and I are great. I love Nick.
No, he's not about to prostitute himself.
I doubt he's actually going to do that.
He's not going to do that. I can't see Jalen. Like, I could definitely see us complaining about the way that he answered the question. Well, I'm not going to complain about it, but I can see some people. I'm not going
to. Well, what if he says something ridiculous? We won't complain?
I don't think he needs to. Like, if he says something ridiculous, that I would be surprised. That would be one of those ones where.
I would too.
I would. My feelings would be hurt a little bit. I would take that a little personal. I'd be like, come on, dog. You got to, like, you got to know the season's about to start. People are hanging on your every word. You can't come out there and just leave everybody hanging. That's bad mojo, man. That's bad mojo.
He's going to play dumb.
No, he's not going to.
Yes, he is. Like he did at the end of the season when they asked him about the Sirianni, leaving or whatever.
I didn't know he was going anywhere. Yeah,
and then the next time he talked, he's like, oh, I really didn't know. Like, I had no idea. Yeah, you do. You know. He knows exactly what is.
So when you say,
you really don't think that? That's exactly what he did at the end of the year.
So when you say play dumb,
that doesn't happen.
It would truly be playing dumb because we know through the reports that are out there that they weren't happy. So, I feel like they probably talked to him, whether it be just PR or people like above, like, hey, we got to change the messaging here. So if he plays dumb, I mean, that's truly like lying to everybody. Like he knows what's going on. Now, I think he's locked into what we're saying every day? I don't. But I think he's been told what you said at the end of minicamp.
Did not fly. That dog did not hunt.
Yeah, that caused a little bit of stir.
Well, so I don't think he's going to play dumb in that. Like, he's obviously going to make an effort to try and clean it up. But I think the playing dumb is going to be like, I really didn't know how to answer the question. Like, I genuinely just didn't know.
If he says that, I know you're not going to be okay with it, Kyle, but I'm okay with that. If he sits there and he says, I didn't really know how to answer the question, I apologize for that or something to that effect.
Yeah.
I could stomach that.
I'll tell you, we got some big upcoming press conferences in Philadelphia. Nick Sirianni tomorrow morning at 9:30. They'll air that live on the morning show right before their first practice. Tomorrow at some point, Jalen Hurts, I think, is likely to speak. We don't have a time on that, but he's the franchise quarterback. I imagine he'll have an early training camp, maybe post-practice press conference. And then today at 1 o'clock right here on the Midday Show, we are going to air the Paul George introductory press conference as the Sixers
got a lot going on, man.
A lot going on, and I guess this feels a little delayed.
What a time to be alive.
What's Paul been doing the last few weeks? He signed here, what, 3 weeks ago?
Been getting right, trying to find a crib in Philly, trying to figure out where we want to stay here.
Paul's going to find one before you?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because his requirements are probably a lot different than mine. Yeah. I don't need all that house he probably about to get with
he
his
does
family.
Have $212 million on a new contract.
He buying whatever he going in there talking about money ain't a thing.
Yeah, his might be a little bit different.
His got what they call that longest train smoke. Who was that dude that said that and got in trouble for shooting somebody?
Who did this?
A couple years ago. Played for, remember him and Wayne Corbett was hanging out? And he said something about his money was longer than train smoke. And he shot somebody. He shot dude.
This is a football. This is an NFL
basketball player.
Basketball player.
Can't think of his name.
All right, we'll figure that out. 215-592-9494. Let's grab David in Wilmington. Hey, David.
What's going on, guys? So I'm going to get my guess out of the way. I'm going to say Ron Brown.
Ron Brown.
Good guess. Not it, but a good guess. Right, what do you think on the Phils, David?
Dude, I'm hitting the panic button right now, honestly. Like, you got to beat the bad teams. We need another arm. We need a
Minnesota's not that bad, though.
No, Minnesota's a playoff. I think they're a playoff team. But last weekend, David, they lost 2 out of 3 to Oakland. They're a bad team. So that point is on.
Well, the Pirates are bad, too. I mean, they're halfway decent, but they're still pretty bad. We still got to dominate.
Pirates are kind of scrappy, man.
I think they're average.
They're not that bad.
I would say Oakland's bad, Pirates are average, and then Minnesota's pretty good.
Oakland's really bad.
Yeah, when you look at the baseball standings, man, there's a lot of teams that are, like, even though we have 63 wins, there's a lot of teams that are lumped up together.
Like at 50. There's a lot of 50.
There's a lot of teams like that.
Yeah, 500 teams. But go ahead, David.
And with the Eagles, it's like I'm not going to even get hyped up until the actual real games start because they're going to throw this vanilla stuff out there for the next couple months.
Well, they're not going to show us anything. I mean, the people covering practice are going to see some differences with the offense. But, yeah, we're not going to – I doubt in the preseason if they're going to go out there and show us –
everything.
Yeah, so what makes you most hopeful, David? Is it Saquon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to see how he's inserted in the offense.
Well, and how much they're going to use him
overall.
Yeah, and look, he could be a big part of that passing game. David, appreciate the phone call. I do think there's a real chance he's their third leading receiver this season. It's going to be some order of Devontae and AJ, 1-2, you know, 1-2, either way.
Totally agree.
Third, I think he gets more catches than Goddard, and we don't even know who the third receiver is. I mean,
I don't sound like it's going to make Goddard happy. That's a lot. He's making the money. He is, but still, man, I feel like Goddard needs to be a bigger part of this offense this go-round in order to make everything, you know, kind of fit together better.
I think Goddard's at a crossroads of his career with the Eagles. He had his least catches since he became a starter last year. He didn't have a great yards per catch. He was injured again.
Yeah.
This
might be his last go-round.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. Now, look, he maybe has a bounce back and has a great year, and he's a bigger part of this thing. We'll see. 215-592-9494. Guesses for Hughes Clues with your calls on the Phillies' concerns. Biggest reasons for hope with the Eagles as camp starts today. And we'll give you another reason for Eagles optimism when we get back. Some odds for the division. The odds are moving in a certain direction, and something Ross Tucker said yesterday about the Eagles' biggest competition. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.